love works. What about Lent? What about this idea that people have had historically of eschewing the carnal aspects of life that hold so much of our thinking in favor of thinking about God and considering God's things so that what we know can get to our hearts? Do you see that? Okay? Not, I want to be good, God. Are you happy with me? Please don't squash me, God. Don't send me to hell. God, I've been really, really good. Don't send me to hell. That's false. It's evil. It's anxiety producing. It's a taskmaster who's going to hurt if you don't. That's not God. God said, I am here and I'm whole. I want you there, but you don't have to come. But the choice of being where I'm not a good place. Don't go. I made what is to be. And if people choose to not be part of what is and what is being, the alternative is a description of hell. A forever unraveling and coming apart that never stops of an eternal creature. Don't be that. Why did God make something that if it's not what he wants, the alternative is hell? That's not fair. How do created people look to Creator and say, I don't think you did it right? God said, I want there to be. He said, I don't have a Fred. I want there to be a Fred. And so here you are in the world and you know about Jesus and you trust him for your salvation. God has Fred. And God says, I'm sorry, Fred, I picked you out because you're smiling at me. That's why. So anybody in the room, God wanted you. He didn't have one, so he made one. And here you are. If you're trying to decide where you are, God wants you. He loves you. And over history, people have been stopping and looking up and going, I think I need to think about God more. How will I do it? And somebody had a great idea. You know, well, here's what we could do. You know, fasting is one idea. But if when we read that Jesus said a time is coming when the people's love will grow cold, if this is a real danger, should we make every effort to not get caught up in the world? Ought we make sure that we enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many? Should we find that narrow gate? I know the answer is yes. How can you be sure that you know the truth? I would say if you own a Bible and if you hear about the history of Jesus Christ, you know the truth. How can you make sure what you know makes it to your heart? And I propose it's by watching the actions that flow out of your heart. Okay? Jesus said, it's not Jesus, it's John the Baptist said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You find that in Matthew chapter 12. And James writes to us, and he says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Many people believe that James wrote just a little bit later, sort of correcting this pure, gracie, you can't do anything to get it part, and adding on, yes, and live it out. Not earn it, okay? So doing things to get would be earning, but doing things because it's your identity and you just are true and live up to what you say you are, that's good. And so here's James. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, sees a little bit of spinach on his teeth, and then goes away at once and forgets what he looks like and doesn't do anything to change it. The scripture does not say the spinach part, okay? I have a habit of parenthesizing little comments. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's good. It's important. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. Do you see it in the New Testament scriptures? About you need to line up with what you say that you are and what you think that you know. And these things become important, especially when you think about Lent. What do I do? How do I practice? What's it about? As we look toward Easter, and many people comment about Lent and fasting and prayer and penitence for some and deeper focus for others, let's consider that God would like your attention and that he's not calling you to go on a diet in the name of the Lord, but he is calling you to step over the distractions about your feet, to cast off the sin that easily entangles us, and to walk worthy of this calling to which we're called. So if you fast, don't just go on a diet. Consider how you're going to draw nearer to God. And I think we'll talk more about that in future Sundays. I'd like to stop there because I think we've used up a lot of your time this morning. Father God in heaven, will you help us to understand your grace that settles the matter and then how we might work out this faith in fear and trembling, how we might live it, how we might negotiate the landscape, how we might express this faith in a way that gives glory to you and draws attention to you and ministers to people in need. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.